It's the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio.
Sunday morning, this is the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks here on 104.5 The Team. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Hope you're all having a good weekend out there. It's been a busy week, I'll tell you that, but we have no shortage of things to talk about today. A lot of basketball, the NBA in full swing, back from the All-Star break. I'm not going to talk about the All-Star game itself because there wasn't really much of an All-Star game even played, but we have real basketball back, so that's always nice to see. The college hoops, of course, March right around the corner. Oh, I cannot tell you how excited I am for March Madness this year. It's going to be a good one. There's really no one team out there. You could make the case for Auburn. You can make the case for Duke, for Florida, for Alabama. Every team out there has a case as to why they could win it all this year in March. So we'll be breaking down the Saturday slate for you coming up soon here. And of course, the hottest headlines of the week, like we always do. Talk a little Four Nations hockey and baseball. We're officially back. Spring training underway. It's a great time of year. Absolutely phenomenal time of year. So I just got a text from my guy Dan Ball, tuned into the station back in Albany, doing some Albany Fire Wolves play-by-play for the lacrosse, UAlbany lacrosse. Dan Ball, hey, if you got a minute, we'll have to get some lunch or a drink or something while you're in town. Miss you, buddy. But good morning, everybody. Like I said, welcome back to the Hot Seat. And let's just dive right into it because this is going to be a basketball-filled show. I mean, there's no football. Minimal baseball. We'll touch on spring training, but it's going to be mostly basketball today just because that's really the big thing going on right now. And we'll start with the NBA as we're officially back. All-Star break is over. I don't know what that All-Star game was this year. All I can say is that I hope Adam Silver is out there taking notes as to how the Four Nations tournament went and what that kind of has done for hockey. It's gotten me more into hockey. I'll go out and admit, you know, I'm not the biggest hockey aficionado. You guys hear me talk about it. I don't know as much as plenty of people out there, but it's obviously a big sport this time of year, and I'm trying to get more into it. And the Four Nations has helped me out with learning some of these guys' names and who these best players are. So exciting times. I'll take you guys along with me on this journey, if you will, as I learn more and more about the sport of hockey. But no John Mueller today as well, as UAlbany baseball is traveling. They are out in Beaumont, Texas, taking on Lamar University. Rough start to the season. I mean, well, they knew Lamar was going to be a tough matchup, but they hung in tough in their first matchup, ended up losing that one 7-4. But they were up on them for a while in that game. So excited to talk to Bam Bam next Sunday and see where his head's at with this team and, you know, what his expectations are coming up here. You know, it's a tough start to the year. I mean, you're traveling so much. They don't have a home game until, let's see, they don't play at home until March 28th against Binghamton. So they're traveling all these other weekends. You know, they've got trips to Pennsylvania, they've got trips to Virginia, out in Texas right now. So UAlbany baseball, busy month for them. But like I said, we'll be back with Coach John Bam Bam Mueller next Sunday at 11:45 in his weekly time slot. But let's get to the basketball. Like I teased it up, and we'll start with the NBA, get a little college hoops in there later. But let's start with Saturday slate. You know, no local teams of interest besides the Nets playing, but Hey, shout out to the Brooklyn Nets getting themselves a victory over the Philadelphia 76ers. No Joel Embiid in the fourth quarter in this one, which is quite interesting, if you ask me. I mean, he was struggling. He certainly, by his standards, did not have a good shooting game. 0 for 6 from behind the arc, 4 for 13 overall. Only had 7 rebounds on the day, too. Finished the game with 14 points. Tyrese Maxey doing all he can. He had 31, 5 assists. Paul George, 15 points, 7 rebounds. You know, with this Philadelphia 76ers team, I mean, this is a team that a lot of people thought could potentially win the Eastern Conference. You know, they were a sleeper team, and they have just not looked good whatsoever. As it just hasn't been good for the 76ers. I don't know if it's just these guys don't mesh well together, or if it's other things going on behind the scenes, but they were fully healthy in this game. They had Paul George, had Embiid, had Maxey, Kelly Oubre started, and honestly, maybe it's a depth thing. I'm looking at the box score here. Their bench is just not very good. You know, they've got Guershon Yabusele, the standout from this past Olympic Games, who, as we all remember, is most well known for his dunk on LeBron James. But yeah, the 76ers fall to the Brooklyn Nets. Cameron Johnson, 23 points, 4 assists, a few steals on the day as well. Nicholas Claxton, how about this? 16 points, 9 rebounds, 5 blocks for the big man out in Brooklyn. Zaire Williams, solid 11 points. You know, nothing too crazy. Trenton Watford, 16 off the bench for Brooklyn. Look, I mean, Brooklyn, yeah, they got a win. We know Brooklyn's not going very far, but, you know, it's a good win for them. Philadelphia, though, it is just confusing what is going on there. I mean, they just have not looked like themselves whatsoever. And obviously, we're past the trade deadline, so there's nothing they can do at this point. They're going to end up probably sneaking into the playoffs as like an 8th seed, and we're going to get all, you know, up in arms about, oh, maybe Philadelphia can upset Cleveland or Boston, whoever has the 1 seed at the end of the season. But no, it's not going to happen. Sorry, Philly fans. You tried it. It's not working at all. So, tough loss for the Philadelphia 76ers. Kevin Huerter and the Chicago Bulls, tough loss to the Phoenix Suns. But Huerter, 30 minutes in this one, 14 points, shot 40% from deep, 4 for 10. So that's a solid outing for him. Pair of steals to go with that, couple assists, couple rebounds, really stuffing the stat sheet across the board. And it's good to see Kevin Huerter finally getting some prolonged minutes. I mean, there's no reason that this guy shouldn't be getting 25, 30 minutes a game, because when you have shooters like that, you know, shooters rely on getting out there and having time on the floor to get comfortable, to get their rhythm, to get hot. When you're taking a shooter off the floor every 5 minutes or so, they're never going to be able to get into that rhythm and find a way to, you know, start putting together some production for you. So it's good to see Kevin Huerter, our local Shen product, getting 30 minutes off the bench for Chicago. I anticipate that'll continue. He's going to keep on getting minutes as long as he can keep on shooting the ball at the high clip that we know he can. We'll see some more Kevin Huerter soon. Honestly, this trade to Chicago is probably the best thing for him. Things weren't exactly working out in Sacramento. He just wasn't getting the same opportunities that he used to. So, like I said, good to see Kevin Huerter out there getting some more opportunities, and we'll have to follow him on this journey now that he's in Chicago playing for the Bulls. And honestly, it was a good game, you know, only lost by 4. I mean, Phoenix Suns, they're an interesting team, you know, just like the Philadelphia 76ers, not playing up to the expectations. Obviously, they got Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker. That's a pretty nasty three-headed monster, but outside of those guys, not too much else. I mean, they're starring Royce O'Neal and Nick Richards alongside of them. Now, look, Nick Richards, big guy, 7-footer, averaging 8-8. You need a better big man if you're going to go far in the NBA playoffs. You know, that's just how I feel. You need an enforcer down low, and the Phoenix Suns just don't have that. You know, I mean, Nick Richards did have a solid game, 15 points, 10 boards. Kevin Durant, 27, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, and a block to go with that. Bradley Beal with 25, Devin Booker with 29, 8 assists. This is the way that this Phoenix Suns team is supposed to be playing. You know, you expect 20-plus points out of Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker on every given night. But yet they still cannot seem to get a lot of separation from a team in the Chicago Bulls who's 13 games under 500. You know, they're currently standing, you know, outside of the play-in looking in. Or excuse me, they're actually sitting at the 10 seed right now. Only half a game above the Brooklyn Nets, who are just narrowly outside of that play-in area in the Eastern Conference standings. But, you know, the Chicago Bulls team, they just traded away Zach LaVine. You know for a fact that they're not anticipating any deep playoff runs this year. And still, yet the Phoenix Suns struggling to kind of, you know, get some momentum against them. So it's interesting, this Phoenix Suns team. They're certainly a squad that you don't want to see come playoff time, because on any given night, Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, or Devin Booker can just shoot the lights out. Next thing you know, you're in a tough spot. But very interesting team. You know, I'm excited to see down the stretch here, once we get closer to the playoffs, where some of these teams are going to fall in line in the standings, and, you know, and see how things shake up. But, you know, right now I still only really have two or three main contenders. You know, you got the Boston Celtics, obviously, the Oklahoma City Thunder, of course, and then outside of those two, I mean, Cleveland, maybe if they get hot at the right time. The Knicks, look, the Knicks, they're great. They have a great starting five. Depth is going to be their Achilles heel. And anything can happen in the playoffs. I'm not knocking the Knicks. I'm not saying the Knicks don't have a chance. They're certainly a contender. But they need some things to go their way come playoff time if you know, they want to make a deep run. Like, they need a little bit of luck. Any champion has a little bit of luck on their side. Knicks, they got to stay healthy. And hopefully that is the case, as they're starting to get healthier. They just got OG Anunoby back the other night against Cleveland, which we'll just call it a rough game for the Knicks. We won't go too into the details. I'm sure if you know, you Knicks fans out there, if you were watching the game, you know how it went. We don't need to dive too far into it, but yeah, it was certainly not the best game from the New York Knicks out there. But back to last night's NBA slate. Utah Jazz defeating the Houston Rockets, which is quite the interesting upset. Houston Rockets, look, a lot of people seem to forget. They're currently right now, well, they were at one point the 3 seed in the West. They've fallen down to 5th. But this Houston Rockets team, they're young, they're hungry, and they have some solid players out there. Alperen Şengün finished the game with, let's see, 27 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists. Jalen Green, 25 to go alongside 22 and 9 rebounds from Amen Thompson. But it was not enough to take down the Utah Jazz, who had 23-10 from Lauri Markkanen. Wow, all 5 starters in double digits. KJ Martin with 11, Bryce Sensabaugh, 12, Walker Kessler, 11 points, 17 rebounds. Man, they got a stud in Walker Kessler. That's the kind of guy, as I was talking with Phoenix, you know, you need an enforcer down low. You need someone that can protect the paint, get your rebounds, and really just do all that at a high level. Walker Kessler is that guy. And it's a shame that his talent is kind of being wasted over in Utah. But, you know, if a contender were to pick up a Walker Kessler in the offseason, that's a pretty scary addition. Isaiah Collier as well, 12 points. And how about Keontae George? Off the bench, 30 points in 29 minutes, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. You want to know why Utah upset Houston last night? Look no further than that little line right there in the box score. Keontae George with one of his best games of the season. You know, this kid's certainly coming into his own, the 16th overall pick back in 2023. He's finding his groove here in the NBA. And, you know, look, he's certainly a bright spot in a Utah Jazz team that, well, they're 14-42. So you're looking for about any bright spot you can in that Utah Jazz roster. And they got a couple. They certainly got a couple. So the future is bright out in Utah. And, you know, we'll see what ends up happening there. Trailblazers. How about Portland? 141-88. The victory over the Charlotte Hornets, who, well, as I'm talking about the Utah Jazz struggling, the Charlotte Hornets 14-41 on the year. Granted, LaMelo Ball has missed some time, but he played last night. I mean, you wouldn't really know it if you watched the game, considering he only had 5 points, 4 rebounds, a couple assists, shot 1-for-10 from the field. I mean, he only had 1 made field goal and got 3 of 4 from the free throw line. That's where he gets his 5 points from. Miles Bridges, 17. Mark Williams, back with Charlotte after the trade to the Lakers, got rescinded. 10 points, 5 rebounds. Yeah, nothing too crazy there. Jusuf Nurkić, 11 points, 8 rebounds off the bench. But how about the Portland Trailblazers? I mean, let me see if I can do the quick math in my head. What is that? A 53-point victory for Portland. Anthony Simons, 25 points, 4 assists. Tumani Kamara, 20. And 10 rebounds, 6 assists, and 1 steal and 2 block. Wow, what a game from Kamara. Denny Avdija, 15 points off the bench. He got 2 double-digit scores in Jabari Walker and Shadon Sharp. Scoo Henderson also coming off the bench now, the former number 3 overall pick. 13 points, 5 assists. He's kind of found his spot on the bench here. Maybe he just needs some time to still gain his footing and get things going here at the NBA level. But look, the Portland Trailblazers, again, another team that certainly not with any playoff expectations, but wow. And Charlotte's not a good team either, but I mean, a 53-point victory, just ridiculous stuff out there. And the big game, of course, last night being the LA Lakers and the Denver Nuggets. We finally see the Lakers win a game since acquiring Luka before this. Well, I mean, they did beat the Trailblazers before, but they certainly were struggling. Luka was struggling, you know, specifically hadn't scored more than 16 points, if I remember correctly, in a Lakers game since being traded. You know, I think he's kind of in shock still. I mean, this guy probably, you know, saw himself as the next coming of Dirk Nowitzki for the Dallas Mavericks, a guy who can spend his whole career with one team, bring them, you know, a couple rings, some championships, and hopefully one day get a statue outside their arena. Not the case for Luka, as obviously we all know that trade to the Lakers pretty much blew up the NBA when it came out. That was all anybody was talking about for, you know, a week on end. And he had himself his best game so far as a member of the Lakers. 32 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, 4 steals for Luka and a block. A guy you don't really think of for his defensive ability, but getting the job done on both ends of the floor last night. LeBron James, 25 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal and 3 blocks. Everybody getting, you know, all across the board here in the box score. Rui Hachimura had 21. Austin Reeves, 23 points, 7 assists, and 4 rebounds. Nothing crazy off the bench for the Lakers, as, you know, nobody scored more than 5 points off the bench. But this is a big win against the Denver Nuggets. You know, this is a Denver Nuggets team that had won 9 straight games going into this, climbed all the way up in the Western Conference standings to number 3. And the Lakers, they put on a show. 123-100 was the final in this one. Held Denver to 13 points in the fourth quarter. And it's a big momentum building win because this is a Denver Nuggets team that has bounced you out of the playoffs multiple times over the last few years. You can never seem to figure out how to beat them. And maybe you've started to show the rest of the NBA that, yes, you kind of blew up the roster by trading away AD, but you got Luka Doncic back and you might still be able to contend in the West. Now, do I think the Lakers are winning the West? No, I personally don't. I don't think they're better than Oklahoma City. I don't think they're beating Denver in a 7-game series by any means. You know, I don't even know if I would say they're better than Memphis. But this Lakers team, you know, they'll probably win a playoff series and try to surprise some people come playoff time. But certainly, you know, a big win for them. And Luka, I think, is now getting over the fact that this trade happened. You know, I think he kind of had to learn to live with it and accept that this is his life now. And, you know, he's starting to get comfortable over there in L.A. And you're seeing that show in last night's game. But I tell you what, this Lakers team, you know, it's going to be exciting watching them play in the playoffs, LeBron and Luka on the same team. But you know what LeBron needs to do at this point, and I don't know if he's going to, because LeBron has never done this in his career for good reason, but LeBron's got to think back to when he was in Miami, 2011, 2012, you know, those finals runs. What did Dwayne Wade do for you, LeBron? You came in. This was Dwayne Wade's team. He led them to a championship in 06. He was the guy that they drafted out of Marquette. And you came to his team. But you know what he said? This is your team now. you are the best player out there. You got to go out there and will us to victory. And that's what LeBron needs to do with Luka. I don't know if he will, but that's what he's got to do. If they want this Lakers team to contend, especially this year, because you don't know what's going to happen to LeBron next year. You don't know if he's going to retire. You don't know if he's going to still be able to play at this high level. But LeBron's got to say, hey, Luka, this is your team now. Let us figure out how to help you be the best player you can be, and we'll go out there and win some games alongside you. And I mean, in this game, you kind of saw Luka being the driving force. You kind of see LeBron say, you know what, here, you can be the quarterback of the team right now. You run the show, and you know, we'll fit around you. That was LeBron's quote when Luka first started playing with the Lakers, was don't try to fit in here, fit the F out, and we will conform around you. And that's the mindset they need to have going forward if this Lakers team is going to be successful. Just because, you know, LeBron at this age, I mean, the guy is 40. He's 40. At some point, he's going to have to take a step back and say, hey, take the reins, carry us as far as you can, and I will help you however I'm able to. So maybe that's what we're going to end up seeing down the line here, but that's my opinion. That's what LeBron needs to do, and that's how the Lakers are going to become the best versions of themselves. Will that happen? Probably not, because I don't know if I see LeBron, you know, handing over the keys to the car like that, but we'll see. You know, it's going to be interesting when they end up in a close game, and we saw that against Charlotte the other day, you know, down by 3, 197, 10 seconds left. LeBron 0-for-2 from behind the arc in that last 10 seconds. I don't know. I guess that was the play they drew up. Give it to LeBron. Let him try to tie this game. But at some point, LeBron's going to have to realize that, look, you know, this is not 2010 anymore. I got to go out there and just let Luka do his thing. So we'll see. For the Nuggets, I mean, you know, they played solid. Jokic, not a good game by his standards, but still had a triple-double, 12 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists. Aaron Gordon led them in scoring with 24, had a few rebounds, 5 to be exact, and 4 assists on top of that. Jamal Murray, 19 points and 6 assists on the day. Russell Westbrook, how about this? He's been playing pretty solid out there for the Denver Nuggets, had 17 points off the bench. And hey, Siena product, Jalen Pickett, 4 minutes played, had a pair of points, 3 points exactly, had a rebound as well. So good to see our former Siena Saint out there getting minutes with the Denver Nuggets. It's all things basketball day. That's the main thing going on around the world of sports right now. So when we come back, we will keep it with basketball, but on the college side. Vinny Fredericks here from the Hot Seat, letting you know to download the free, that's right, the free 104.5 The Team app on the App Store today to be up to date with when our shows are going on, when the Hot Seat is happening every Sunday morning, and when the rest of our programming updates come out, as you will be able to listen to our shows live from your phone anytime you want. So be sure to go to the App Store, download the free 104.5 The Team app today. New top 25 comes out tomorrow, but first let's break down the current top 25 and go over yesterday's College Hoops Saturday slate. It's the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks here on 104.5 The Team.
It's the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio.
And we are back here on the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks here on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio in Albany. Hope you guys are having a fun weekend out there. I gotta say, it's been one heck of a weekend. As you probably heard, while me and MJ were at MVP Arena just on Friday before the Siena game, you know, spent the whole last week up in Plattsburgh visiting my girlfriend Tori, had a blast up there, celebrated Valentine's Day a little bit late, because of course, you know, things happen, lives get busy, and then had a great night last night. If you're out in Schenectady, you haven't seen Life of Pi at Proctor's Theater, highly recommend. Was absolutely phenomenal. Can't say enough great things about it. And shout out my boys Gabe, Ethan, Looper, happy birthday boys. full disclosure, we may have gone out and had a few libations last night to celebrate with the boys. Had an absolute blast. So happy birthday. Shout out to those two fellas. I'm sure Gabe is still sleeping right now, as it was a late night for him. But had to show love to the boys real quick. Before we get into the college hoop scene, as March is right around the corner, Selection Sunday, if I remember correctly, should be March 16th. As I try to fill time real quick as I pull up my calendar to make sure the 16th is the correct day. Yes, March 16th. Selection Sunday. Cannot wait for that one. But let's dive into the college basketball rankings here and the Saturday slate. So obviously the rankings come out every Monday. So these are, you know, a little bit of old news. We'll have new ones tomorrow for me and MJ to break down at City Line Bar and Grill for Drive the Lane from 3 until 7. So hey, if you're looking for something to do tomorrow afternoon, looking for a place to go get some great dinner. I cannot say enough great things about City Line. Food's phenomenal. Rob Malkus and and everybody there, they take good care of us. So come on over, say hi. Me and MJ will have some 104.5 koozies to give away, all the great things. But we'll break down the new top 25 tomorrow afternoon. But right now, top 25 goes as such. Auburn, the clear and far away number one favorite, receiving 59 of 60 first place votes. Florida, my Gators, in second with a one first place vote. They're ranked number two. Duke and Cooper Flag at three. Alabama, four. Houston at five. Tennessee, Texas A&M, Iowa State, Texas Tech. St. John's rounding out the top 10. 11 through 15 goes Wisconsin, Michigan, Purdue, Michigan State, Missouri, Marquette, Kentucky, Clemson, Arizona, and Maryland rounding out the top 20. And from 21 to 25, you got Mississippi State, Memphis, Kansas, Ole Miss, and Louisville. Creighton, the one team that dropped out of the rankings. They were ranked 24 beforehand. And one other thing I've noticed, no UConn. We have not seen UConn in the top 25 in quite a bit. They did receive some votes in this AP top 25 poll, but certainly interesting to see the back-to-back NCAA basketball champions led by Dan Hurley not in the top 25. And for good reason, they've been struggling a bit this year, but still very interesting to see. Let's break down the Saturday slate around college basketball, starting with, of course, my Florida Gators. No, just kidding. We'll start with Kentucky and Alabama. One of a couple ranked matchups here. Alabama gets the better of the Kentucky Wildcats, 96-83. The final here, Alabama led by Mark Sears. I mean, this kid can play. 30 points for him to go alongside four assists, a couple steals, and a big win for the Crimson Tide. Who, you know, they've Alabama. They like to score the basketball. He loved to score the basketball, and coming off back-to-back losses against Auburn and then Missouri, this is a big win for him. And, you know, their schedule is so tough down the stretch here, but that's just the SEC for you. Alabama, who just beat Kentucky, they go on to play Mississippi State in 2 days. And then next week, they've got Tennessee on March 1st, Florida, and then Auburn to close out the season on the road. So they got to play, depending where Tennessee falls, if Tennessee goes up in the rankings, they could be playing three top five teams to close out their season. And they, of course, a top five team in their own right as well. But the SEC is just ridiculously stacked this year around college basketball. Alabama, like I said, led by Mark Sears. They just love to shoot. They love to shoot and they love to drive in. You know, they don't like the mid-range spot at all. But when they're on. And it's, I would be weary picking Alabama to win it all just because they really got to rely on being hot. You know, if they have one cold night, they're done. One night, the shot just isn't falling for Mark Sears or some of these other guys. And, you know, they don't have the best defense out there. They give up a lot of points, but then they score a lot of points to counteract that. So it's a risky, you know, risky kind of system they run over there, but they are incredibly talented and they run the system very well. So that's why they are, of course, a top five team in the NCAA. But yeah, Alabama, big win over Kentucky. How about Houston? top 10 matchup here. Number 5, Houston, and number 8, Iowa State. Houston gets the victory 68-59. And Houston, hey, don't look now, but they're sitting pretty good at the top of the Big 12. At least a 3-game lead over Texas Tech and Arizona, who are sitting at 2nd and 3rd. And, you know, Houston, look, every year they seem to be right up there at the top. Don't know if they're going to make it all the way, but this could be the year for the Houston Cougars. This certainly could be the year. I mean, they played Auburn very tough at the beginning of the season, and Alabama actually as well. Only lost both those games by 5 in each. And, you know, since then, they have just been on a tear. Let's see, they are 15-1 in conference play, 23-4 overall. You know, a big win over Kansas earlier in the season, big win over Arizona, and obviously just now beating Iowa State. So, look, Houston, another team that maybe I would be a little bit weary, but honestly, that's how I feel about every team. This is probably one of the most stacked college hoop seasons that we've seen in years past, where you really have no idea who's going to be, you know, the number one team that everyone's going to be picking. One team that a lot of people could be picking, the Auburn Tigers, led by Jahni Broome. They got a win over the Georgia Bulldogs yesterday. I was selfishly rooting for Georgia to get the upset because I wanted to see Florida get up there as the number one team, but that was not the case. Jahni Broome in this one, 31 points, 14 rebounds for the Tigers. For Georgia, they were led by Asa Newell, who had 25 rebounds, couple of assists, couple of blocks, and also Silas DeMary Jr. with 18 points. But the Bulldogs unable to get it done, and Auburn continues their hot streak in SEC play. Only one loss on the season in SEC play thus far, that being against my Florida Gators, who took down the LSU Tigers 79-65 yesterday. Walter Clayton Jr., 13 points. It was actually Ruben Chinyelu. I'm sure I just butchered his name, but Ruben Chinyelu led the Gators with 19 points, 13 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks. Thomas Hawk with 16 points, 10 rebounds. So a pair of double-doubles there for the Gators. Elijah Martin with 14, 6 boards. And Denzel Aberdeen off the bench with 11 points. And how about Micah Hanlockton? Getting more minutes, getting back into the feel of things after breaking his leg pretty badly in the SEC championship last year. Great to see the big 7-footer out there playing once again for the Gators. And if he can stay healthy and really get back in game shape and ready to go for March Madness, look, Florida's a big team. They love to rebound, and having a 7-footer and Hanlockton out there is going to make a big difference. But that's Florida's bread and butter. They get the offensive rebounds, they extend possessions, and they make you pay if you don't crash the glass and box them out. So win for Florida, 79-65 over LSU. Let's get out of the SEC for a second. How about Duke? 110-67, the final over Illinois, as of course this is a non-conference game, as of course Illinois out of the Big Ten, Duke in the ACC. But this is something that we might see a little bit more of as, you know, March Madness, or excuse me, NCAA basketball continues year in and year out. It started last year with, I want to say it was Kentucky and Gonzaga, who played in kind of a non-conference game in the middle of their conference schedule, just because, you know, why not? You get the chance to see other teams play, you get the chance to face some other competition and really get you guys ready for March, because you're not playing a conference tournament in March. You're playing teams from every single conference out there. You know, even a team from the America East is going to be there. There's going to be plenty of, you know, random teams from conferences that you haven't seen yet. So it's good to kind of get this non-conference game in there and see how your guys match up against other teams that you haven't seen yet this year. So I like the idea, you know, just kind of throwing a non-conference game in the middle of your season just to keep things fresh. And, you know, Duke just all across the board, everybody with big games. Cooper Flagg, 16 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. Con Knapel, 15 points. Kamon Malak, 13. Tyrese Proctor with 12, and Sion James with 11. All 5 starters for Duke in double digits. Their leading scorer was Isaiah Evans off the bench with 17, and Caleb Foster as well with 12 off the bench. And Illinois, yeah, it was a struggle for them. That's all I can really say. It was certainly a struggle. I mean, 7% I'm going to give all the listeners out there a quick chance to guess what that 7% is. It was their 3-point percentage for Illinois. 2 for 26. Absolutely brutal. And for Duke, you know, they shot 52% from deep. That's just insane. When you're facing a team that's shooting 50% from behind the arc, I don't think you're ever going to get the better of them. But huge win for Duke. Obviously, a momentum-building win. And Duke's one of those teams that is certainly going to be in a lot of people's brackets in the finals and probably pick to win. How about another top 10 matchup? Back in the SEC, Tennessee and Texas A&M. Tennessee was ranked 6th, Texas A&M 7th. Tennessee gets the victory 77-69 in this one, led by Chaz Lanier with 30 points, Zakal Zeigler with 16, Jordan Gainey with 14. Only 3 double-digit scores for Tennessee, but that was all they needed. Texas A&M, Wade Taylor the 4th with 18, Zurek Phelps 15, Anderson Garcia with 14, and Tennessee, I mean, they defended well. Again, the 3-point percentage, Texas A&M, 16%. Tennessee, 48. And you wonder why Tennessee got the big victory. And Chaz Lanier, who I said led them in scoring with 30, had 8 threes. 8 threes. He made 10 shots, shot 10 for 18 from the field, 8 for 13 from deep. If you think this kid likes to shoot the ball, you would be correct. So the big win for Tennessee over there over Texas A&M. Rounding out the scoreboards here, Texas Tech, who's number 9, they get the 22-point victory over West Virginia. Oregon gets the upset over Wisconsin, 77-73 in overtime. As you know, it was Jackson Shellstad who forced overtime in this one. Oregon led by Nate Biddle with 23 points. Huge upset win for the Ducks there. And let's see who else we got here. Missouri and Arkansas. Arkansas with the upset, 92-85, the final there. So Missouri, after you know some big wins earlier on in the season, I mean, they beat Alabama, they beat Florida, my Gators earlier on this year. They beat Ole Miss. You know, they have a lot of quad one victories, but this is a pretty tough loss to the Arkansas Razorbacks. Clemson and SMU. Clemson gets the victory by 10, 79-69. BYU with the upset over Arizona, 96-95, and a little bit of extracurriculars, if you will, after the game. Some, you know, some words were exchanged, some maybe light shoving here and there, but handled pretty well. I give props to the coaches and the staff over there in that BYU Arizona game for getting things handled rather quickly. Oklahoma gets the upset over Mississippi State for their 4th win in SEC play, 93-87. Kansas, big win over Oklahoma State, and I tell you what, they needed that. Kansas needed that big win badly after back-to-back losses to Utah and BYU. Both unranked teams on the road. Yeah, it's been tough for Kansas lately. I mean, before this win against Oklahoma State, they had lost 3 of their last 4. 4 of their last 6. And this is a Kansas team that came into the season ranked number 1, if I remember correctly. They were 100% ranked number 1 at one point in the year, but I want to say that when the season started, they were picked as the number 1 team. So, I mean, there's a chance they end up unranked after this week. We'll see tomorrow when the new top 25 comes out, but much needed victory for the Kansas Jayhawks there. Vanderbilt gets the upset over Ole Miss, 77-72, and Louisville the victory over Florida State, 89-81. And that will round out your college basketball Saturday slate. Things getting exciting around the NCAA. Like I said before, oh buddy, I cannot wait for March Madness this year. It's going to be a good one. We'll have to, once the time comes, we'll have to see if we can get some listeners to call in, see who you guys have picked for your March Madness favorites. But when we come back, you know what time it is. It is time for the hottest headlines of the week around the world of sports and beyond. It's The Hot Seat with your host, Vinny Fredericks, here on 104.5 The Team and the free 104.5 The Team app. Vinny Fredericks from The Hot Seat here, and if you want to be up to date with when episodes are going to come out, when it's going to be live on air on 104.5 The Team, and if you want to see clippings and snippets of interviews and other on-air moments from my time here with 104.5 The Team. Follow my social media accounts at VFredsMedia, at VFREDDS Media on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and more to stay up to date on everything and all things Hot Seat and more.
It's the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio.
Caught the BMW, new deposit, I picked up another bag, like, but I'ma count while I'm in it. I hear planes flying, crowds screaming, money counting, chains clinking. I guess that's how it sound when you win it. I ain't joking, do it sound like I'm kidding. I've been making.
And we are back here on the Hot Seat with your host, Vinny Fredericks, here on 104.5 The Team. You know what time it is. Time for those hottest headlines of the week, and cue the air horn noise in your head. My soundboard here is giving me some technical difficulties today, so no air horn noises before we get to the hottest headlines of the week. But you can make it up. Yeah. All right, let's get to the hottest headlines of the week, like we do every Sunday morning, starting out of the NBA. Bit of sad news, I'll say. San Antonio Spurs head coach Greg Popovich not expected to return this season, and his NBA future is uncertain right now as he recovers from a stroke he suffered back in November. And this kind of provides some closure during what has been, really a excruciatingly difficult season for San Antonio over the last week or so, which, after they just Thursday announced that they got to shut down Victor Wembanyama for the rest of the season after he was diagnosed with deep vein thrombosis in his right shoulder, or otherwise known as blood clots. And, prayers up there for Victor Wembanyama. Obviously, this is the kind of stuff that you hate to see. Just a brutal, brutal story, brutal for the NBA, brutal for the Spurs, brutal for fans. Hopefully a speedy recovery for Wemby, and here's to hoping that he gets back on the floor next season, back and better than ever. But Spurs fans, I deeply apologize, because it's this stuff just it stinks. Being a Miami Heat fan, I saw the same kind of thing, end Chris Bosh's career. So hopefully this is a different scenario. And we've seen this happen to a few athletes. I mean, Brandon Ingram overcame it. Ausar Thompson, Pistons rookie at the beginning of the season, missed some time due to, some blood clot issues. And it's just, it's brutal. That's really the only word I have to describe it. But let's give our thoughts out there to the Spurs and Greg Popovich and Victor Wembanyama, hoping for a speedy recovery for both of those men. The New York Yankees broke new ground this past week, announcing that they will now allow players, for the first time in nearly half a century, to grow well-groomed beards. Hallelujah. The New York Yankees can finally have facial hair besides a mustache, and I feel so bad for Devin Williams, who spent, 6 years growing the beard that he had in Milwaukee, comes over to New York, has to shave. Hal and Brian Cashman have one look at him with a clean-shaven face, and they decided, we got to change this. We got to get his aura back, if you will. But, I think it's great. To be honest, if you ask me, this rule should have been done for a while ago. It didn't make any sense. It didn't seem like it had any point back in the 60s, 70s, and when this rule was initially instilled. It made sense because at that time the Yankees were the Yankees. The Yankees won all the time. You'd have the privilege if you were allowed to wear pinstripes and play for the Yankees, and people knew that. That's why everybody wanted to go to the Yankees back then, but that is not the case anymore. That's not how things work. The Yankees haven't won in 16 years almost. It's been since 2009, and it took them 15 years just to get back to the first World Series since then, and then they end up blowing it against the LA Dodgers. So, look, for the Yankees, I think it's great. I'm sure some people, you know, disagree. I'm sure George Steinbrenner is rolling over in his grave right now at the thought of Aaron Judge sporting a beard this season. But if you ask me, I think he's rolling more in his grave because of the fact that they haven't won a World Series since 2009. And that's not the Yankees way. But that's the thing. They're not the Yankees of old. You can't just go out there and be like, hey, you want to play for us. No, not everybody does want to play for you anymore. And it's because of little silly things like that. And I mean, there's, you know, there's some players who maybe I wouldn't say enjoyed the rule, but like Aaron Judge is quoted as saying, like, if you were going to let a silly rule like a beard, not like, you know, if you were going to let that change your decision and deter you from coming to the New York Yankees, maybe you shouldn't be a Yankee in the first place, which is fair. You know, it's a good point. But what's the purpose? I mean, the beard does not make you a better or worse player. It doesn't make you more disciplined or less disciplined. I get the professional look, but, you know, like to me, it's almost like saying you go in for an office job and, you know, they're still in 2025 saying, oh, you know what? Is that an earring I see? Nope, you're done. Is that a tattoo on your arm? Nope, get out of here. That doesn't really happen anymore. You know, people have started to realize that those rules are, for lack of a better term, stupid. I mean, the appearance has nothing to do with the personality or the work ethic, has nothing to do with any of that. So honestly, if you ask me, it is about time that the Yankees have allowed well-groomed beards. Now, I'm intrigued to see, what do they define as well-groomed? You know, are they going to have a barber or, you know, some sort of hair specialist with the team at all times in case it gets to a certain length so that these players can get it cut? I don't know. It's going to be intriguing to see, but it's going to be fun to watch. And honestly, if I'm picturing now some of these older Yankee legends, if they could have had facial hair, if you ask me, I think Nick Swisher would have hit 50 home runs if he had a beard with that mohawk he rocked back in the day with New York. But I guess we'll never know. So the Yankees finally allowing well-groomed beards. Exciting times for the Yankees. Out of the NHL, the Four Nations tournament ended earlier this week with Canada still on top, defeating the U.S. 3-2 in overtime. It was Connor McDavid who, as we know, is the best player in hockey. There's really no debate there. Connor McDavid with the goal at the 8-minute, 18-second mark of overtime secured the victory. Brady Tkachuk and Jake Sanderson with goals for Team USA, while Nathan MacKinnon, Sam Bennett, and McDavid scored for Canada. Jordan Binnington had 31 saves on 31 shots in Canada's win. And, you know, the next time we're going to see these guys go at it again is going to be in the 2026 Winter Olympics in Milan, Italy. And that's going to be fun to watch. Now that these NHL players can officially play in the Olympics again, oh, it's going to be fun. But the Four Nations, I think, was a huge home run. It was a phenomenal idea. If you're a commissioner of other sports, you got to be looking at this and think, okay, how can we kind of, you know, turn this into something that we can use? You know, how can the NBA take this idea and transform the All-Star Game into like a USA versus world type thing? How can the NFL find a way to kind of make the Pro Bowl more like the Four Nations? Just something that the players actually care about. You know, there were hockey players that got injured in these games and are now missing time with their NHL teams because of the Four Nations tournament. Do they care? No, because they were playing for something bigger than themselves. They were playing for the country they represented. And that's what I think, you know, it shows. It shows in the viewership. There was, I think, 16 million viewers across the U.S. and Canada watching the final matchup between the two countries the other day. So it's certainly a big win for hockey, and a big win for Canada, who still reigns supreme in the hockey world. But hey, hockey has earned themselves a new fan, that being Vinny Frederick. So we'll see if I can learn some you know some more about hockey over the next week or so and try to dive into more of the NHL next week on the Hot Seat. But that'll do it for us today on this Sunday edition of the Hot Seat. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll be back at it next Sunday at 11 a.m. with UAlbany baseball coach John Mueller again at 11:45 and breaking down more college basketball, the NHL, and the hottest headlines of the week around the world of sports and beyond. Thank you again, everybody. Have a good one. And don't forget, tomorrow afternoon, me and MJ drive the lane from 3 until 7 at City Line Bar and Grill. Tune in, and if you can't tune in, come on by to City Line. Get yourself some dinner and a couple drinks. It's an absolutely phenomenal scene. And come say hey. We'll even have some ESPN 104.5 koozies to be given away. So thank you again, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you soon, and have a good one. Vinny Fredericks here from the Hot Seat, just wanting to say thank you. Thank you for being a listener. Thank you for supporting the podcast. Or if you're listening live on 104.5 The Team every Sunday morning from 11 a.m. till 12 noon, we appreciate it very much here. And it's because of listeners like you that I continue to do this and follow my dreams. So thank you again for listening and for being a supporter of the Hot Seat and 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio. Be on the lookout for new episodes throughout the week and for the live airings every Sunday morning on 104.5 The Team.